join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Faith Friends by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Let's look at Mark, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." This is referring to Jesus. It was noise that he was in the house. Jesus in the house. Somebody noise this. Somebody started announcing, "Jesus in the house." "And straightway," which means immediately, "many were gathered together." Boy, wouldn't it just be wonderful if folks would just realize Jesus is in the house, they just come running to church.
Come running to church.
"And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them." No, not so much as about the door. "And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy." We would simply say he was paralyzed. He was either paraplegic, meaning that two of his extremities, upper or lower, weren't working, or he was a quadriplegic, meaning that none of his extremities were, he was able to move. But the sick of palsy, meaning he was paralyzed. And he was born of four. That word "born of four" means four men carried him. He said, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press or the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was."
Took the roof off.
"And when they'd broken it up,"
wow,
"they broke the roof up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Okay, let me just add this here for the sake of continuity. And after that, some people say, "Who is he? Who do you think he is to be forgiving people's sins?" He said, "Not only am I able to forgive sins," he said, "but so you know, the Son of Man got the power not only to forgive sin, but to also heal the sick. Take up your bed and walk." And the man was able to leave. Okay? But what stands out to me here is that this man got forgiven, and he got healed. In this situation, not because of his faith,
right,
but because of the faith of his friends. Not because of his faith, because of the faith of his friends. You know, over the years when we studied in first circles, there was always a debate about whether somebody can be healed just based upon your faith.
Right.
Okay. No, you got to release your own faith.
Yeah.
Okay. And the truth is, we can't put God in a box.
Sure can't. But he'll honor your faith.
He will honor your faith for someone else.
Exactly.
And we see that. I can name at least several scriptures that's
right.
Shown.
Right.
So once it's shown, at least by the mouths of two or three witnesses,
right,
it's established.
Right.
Okay? But in this case, it didn't even say that the man who was sick of palsy was active. He was totally passive in this situation. He heard Jesus come, and they bring this man carried by four people on a bed, or what we would call a stretcher today, And they carry him, and I'm sure they hope to get him close to the door, close to where Jesus is, or knock on the door. They can't get anywhere close to the door. They climb up on the roof. Break up the roof.
Broke up the roof.
Broke up the roof. Tore the roof up.
Not just a hole.
Okay.
They tore it up.
They tore the roof up and let the man down into the room where Jesus was. And when Jesus saw their faith, let me point this out. Faith can be seen. A lot of people talk faith. A lot of people say, deep down in my heart. This Jesus didn't see what was in their heart. It wasn't deep down. It wasn't what they said. It was the demonstration of their faith. Mm. You got to put your money, you got to put your actions where your faith is.
Right.
Or they say put your money where your mouth is. Right. You got to demonstrate something.
Right. Right.
They demonstrated that they believe if we can get our friend to Jesus, he can be healed. Mm. And watch this. And I'm sure they didn't bring the man there for forgiveness of his sins.
No.
They brought the man there to be healed.
To be healed.
But he got more than what they even brought him for.
That's good. That's
I wasn't planning on saying that.
That's good.
The first thing Jesus dealt with was the sin problem.
Right. Right.
Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Mm-hmm. And then because of the murmuring of the scribes and Pharisees, religious people, Jesus going to say, not in addition to that, you can get up and walk too. Glory to God. And so the subject that I came up with is faith friends.
Okay.
Some faith friends. Don't let that sell her Betty Tatum.
That's your type.
That's my type.
Yeah, I can see that.
Some faith friends.
Faith friends.
Are you making fun of my title?
No, not at all.
It sounds like you're trying to make fun of my title.
No, it's got a warm and fuzzy feeling.
Warm and funny feeling. Okay. Well, Pastor Marcia's suggestion was battle buddies. Battle buddies. Okay. Battle buddies. So you can call whether you want to. Let me see. I text Pastor Chandler and sent him the scripture and told him I had in mind. And he came first. He said, let me think. Then he got on a roll.
I
said, now you're on a roll.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me see. Some of his, I got your back.
Okay.
Okay. Wingman.
Oh, okay.
The wingman. I told him that was too much to explain. Now, that'd be good for a preach message.
That's good.
But this teaching here. Wingman, that sounds like a good sermon there. But since it's Bible study, I said, ain't going to work. And they all came up with faith team.
That's good.
Your faith team.
That's good.
Another one, Pastor Chandler came up with tag team partners.
Ah, that's good, too.
Tag team partners. Okay. He's talking about how I used to have them watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they used to have tag teams. Okay. I said, boy, you're on a roll now. That's why I text him back. Then I didn't get a chance to read this one. He came with another called Ratchet Faith. Ratchet Faith, I guess when you're willing to tear something up.
They are ratchet. That's ratchet.
When you're willing to tear roofs up and everything, well, like what you believe.
Oh, like our grandkids always say, that's vicious. Or Savage.
Savage, that would have been good one. Savage faith.
Wow.
Yeah, that would work right there. Ratchet faith. Savage faith. He said, because ratchet faith will rip a hole in something. Everybody needs that one ratchet friend.
Woo!
Who's willing to pick you up from jail.
Come on.
And do what it takes for your miracle.
Oh, that would preach right.
Let's just
sit
down and let Pastor Chandler come on up and preach this thing.
We need a third chair.
Sally, he got some revelation up on this thing here.
I sense something happening.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
The woman with the issue of blood, she has some ratchet faith. She wanted to steal her blessing.
Ooh, she was ratchet.
Ooh, ratchet faith. Come on now. We may do a tag team on that ratchet faith.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Then also co-laborer. People who will be next to you and work their faith for you work their faith for you just to have faith. Amen? So, but the emphasis of this is the team who surrounds you and the people who surround you.
Oh, this is so good.
Because during times of crisis, you need... the Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? The Bible said, two are better than one.
Right.
Because if he falls down, he has another to pick him up. And that same scripture said, but woe unto him who falls down and is alone.
Right.
So you run out of faith, you run out of gas, okay? You don't have anybody else around. You know, one thing that's the thing, you know, Pastor Trey used to have a boat. Mm-hmm. And so I used to always think, because, you know, I got a new boat a couple years ago, but my old boats, and then anyway, you know, the early boat years, we had a lot of crisis on the lake.
We did.
A lot of crisis between me burning up the engine, right.
and running on rocks
and busting up the prop. And there was a few times we had, and so I always felt good to know that Trey had a boat too.
Right, because he can come out and
he can come help me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always thought about it. But I was out there the other day, I said, Trey don't have his boat no more. I said, now, if I get stuck, who am I going
to
call? I need some other friends who have boats.
You have to call on Jesus.
Well, Jesus didn't have a boat. Peter had the boat. Jesus, read the scripture. Jesus never had a boat, but he was always on a boat.
He had some friends.
Because he had friends who had a boat.
Oh, come on now.
Everybody needs some friends who got a boat.
So
when you get stuck out on the water, come on now.
Yeah. This is good. So it's so important for you to be in a place that you're willing and open to have a friend that maybe have some type of, be familiar.
Maybe something that you don't have.
Right. And so often, we're trying to do this thing all by ourselves, and that you want to bring someone on to help you get through a situation, and they really don't know anything about you. You know, and so we need some individual who can identify, care, have a desire, passion to want you to get to a particular place of healing, whatever you desire in your life, but you cannot get that overnight. You need someone in your life that you can have some type of fellowship with, or identify with you, so their faith will really be there in a time of trouble.
Yeah. So these friends carry, now again, we don't really hear, even when you read, we don't really hear much about the man. Okay. All we know,
he'd have been fighting, kicking, and screaming.
Well, may not have been kicking and screaming. He was paralyzed.
Yeah, he could have been saying, "Hold up, what y'all
doing?" Or if he was paralyzed up top, he could have been kicking at the bottom.
Like, what are y'all doing?
We know, he could have been scared.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is the highest. He can't walk. This is the highest I've ever been in my entire life.
So to get the man up on the roof, not only you got to get him up, you got to balance him while you're getting him up there.
I wonder if they dropped him a couple of times.
Okay, so the man could have been thinking, "Lord, I'm already paralyzed. Now you're gonna make me brain dead if you drop me on my head." Mm. Okay, he had to have faith in his friends too.
Yeah. Trust.
He had to trust his friends that they had him.
That's so good. So this superficial friendship we got going on sometimes cannot take you through a time of crisis.
You're not gonna call on a frenemy.
No.
When you need deliverance.
Definitely not. Definitely.
Because some people talk about that's my frenemy.
Yeah, but I don't understand. I never understood this whole frenemy thing, and I don't understand why you have a group of frenemies. You need to have some faith friends. I'm sure we're gonna get into it, but some individuals that you trust with you, with your back. Trust that they have you. You know, I got one of my ghetto stories again, my hood stories.
Yeah, and you got a lot of them.
I'm prefacing it because he talks about my experience.
Y'all know when Pastor Mars would be telling these stories from Newark. Me and Pastor Byron, who's from Jersey City, and the lady in the show, we were talking the other day, saying, man, Jersey City was never like that.
Right.
But go ahead, tell us one of your hood stories from Newark.
I have some
offense to Newark. Much love to Newark. My wife came from Newark. What else happened in Newark?
I had some friends, okay. You know, and I was out with them, and I was playing it. And my sister always said, they are not your friends. They don't like you. You know, but, you know, I wanted someone to play with, so I kind of tolerated all that stuff. So I was riding my bike through Branchburg Park. I don't know if you remember the Indian Trail.
Branchburg Park.
Well, there's a trail within the park that's wooded.
I was in Jersey City. I wasn't going to go on no trail in Newark.
Okay. So we ride our bikes through a trail. Like you're going down to the park, the state park here. But it's very, very wooded. And so as we was going into the park, that trail, I saw a guy running out. And so I said, I think he's going to run and hide. They said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, and so we kept on riding, and all of a sudden, this guy comes from this path, and he throws something at me, hits me, I fall off my bike, tumble down a hill, and they kept on going.
Your friends?
My friends. So in a time of crisis, in a time when I needed somebody, they kept on going. So left me there in that situation
and
for hours.
And what did you learn from that situation?
Oh, I don't do frenemies. Frenemies will kill you, will risk your life, will leave you in a time of crisis. From that point on, that was my learning thing. I mean, I go through churches and people and know a whole bunch of people. You know this. I do not do frenemies.
Yeah, well, both I had to learn from Pastor Marcia because I will forget.
I don't do it.
She would say, now you realize that person don't like you, right? I know you chummy, you're trying to be chummy, and you realize they got an issue with you. I said, yeah. So, when Marcia sees pettiness,
mm-hmm. I can't do it.
When she's pettiness or somebody throwing a little dig or saying that, she's like, okay, let me back up because right. Those are unsafe people.
Unsafe, and they're throwing a dig for somebody else. I could be the other person they're throwing a dig at tomorrow. So I watch that and I mark that, and people say, well, you shouldn't do that, but if you carry a bone and bring a bone to me, you're going to take a bone someplace else. I know I'm saying it wrong, okay? If you bring a bone, you carry a bone.
I love Pastor Marcia. She has a hard,
I got it right,
she
right?
has a hard time with these sayings.
I got it right, but if you bring a bone, you carry a bone.
Something
there
like
you
that.
Go, something yeah. like that. You know, and so I realized I just cannot, I mean, I know it's unsafe. I need to be able to trust a person with my back. I don't, if I'm hanging with you, I'm out with you, I don't want to have to be looking around my shoulder when I have somebody on the right and the left or possibly behind me. I need to know that you are watching my back and, you know, and you have my best interests at heart just as if I have yours at heart. I won't let you down, so I'm not expecting you to let me down.
Amen. So he has some real faith friends, battle buddies, ratchet friends.
Savage friends
who was willing to do what it takes to help him. Another way to say it, ride or die, right?
Yeah.
Ride or die kind of friend who helped him. So let's look at some characteristics of some faith friends. You know, years ago, I thought about this. Years ago, I did a series. I don't know if I did a series or I just made a point that you need some money friends.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible said, make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. So when it fails, they will receive into everlasting habitation. In other words, say you need to have some friends who have some money. So when you need money, mm-hmm. and don't you have some friends you can go to who will help you out, mm-hmm. okay? And you got to know who those friends are,
right.
and
right.
you don't, and you got to manage those relationships.
Right.
And this is not just talking about money. This is even deeper. This is friends of faith, because money friends is specific to money.
Yeah,
faith friends can meet any need.
That's good.
Whether it's financial, or about your marriage, or about your children, or it's about your body. In this case, a faith friend will release their faith for you and with you. Oh, this is so good. You need faith friends more than you need money friends.
That's good.
For all you always trying to get chummy with somebody because they got money, but do they have any faith?
Do they have any faith?
Here's the other thing, because if they don't have any faith, they ain't even going to release money to you because they trust in their money more than they trust in God, and they'll try to hold on to all they have. You need some friends, got some faith, even more than money. So let's look at some characteristics of faith friends. Number one, a faith friend brings you closer to Jesus versus taking you further from Jesus. A faith friend brings you closer to Jesus rather than taking you further from Jesus. Because the Bible says, when it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house, he was in the area at this particular house, they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy. They brought their friend to Jesus. When you have trouble, when you are discouraged, when you are depressed, when you are overcome with anxiety, do you have friends during that time who take you closer to Jesus or take you further from Jesus? Because, you know, you can have people that just commiserate with you,
right.
and they take you further from Jesus.
Right.
Okay?
And
when we're talking about closer to Jesus, when I'm not just talking about just necessarily having just a relationship with the Lord in terms of being saved, but I'm talking about keep you in line with his word.
Right, right. It may feel uncomfortable for you, because that's not what you want to hear at that time, but you want someone to leave you with the word and to lead you with how you should govern yourself, even though you're in a situation where you're justified. You know, and that's what you think. I'm justified to act like this or respond like this or even speak like this, but a faith friend would say, girl, don't do that. Don't follow that up like that. Don't handle it like that. You know, this is what the word says. And you get mad. I don't want to hear the word.
Yeah. It could be about your marriage. Something go wrong. You know, I'm just going to leave him. Or from now on, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do it. I got me. He got him. But a faith friend said, No, come on. That ain't the word.
Right.
That ain't the word. Well, from now on, he ain't getting none. That ain't the word. Well, when he do this, then I'll do that. That ain't the word. A faith friend is going to tell you what the word says. They're going to keep you closer to the word and having your keep your decisions and behavior aligned with the principles of the word rather than just scratching your flesh. Mm. Yeah, child, I know if I was you, I'd do the same thing. You know, yeah, he don't deserve you. She don't deserve you. Mm-hmm. You know, I always wondered about this. This song, I wish I had a chance to. We got seniors here. Okay, so some of them are going to remember the song. But there was a song, there was a verse in the song that said, "All my friends call me a fool. They say, let your woman take care of you." And y'all remember that song? Who was that, sir? Any of y'all remember who it was? Anyway, but that was always. All my friends call me a fool. Shallites. All right. I always question. Now, my friends call me a fool. They say, let the woman take care. Who are these friends? The woman ain't supposed to be taking. These are men singing.
Right.
The woman ain't supposed to be taking care of the man. I know I'm going old school now. The woman ain't supposed to be taking care of the man. The man's supposed to be taking care of the woman. Sometimes you have friends who give you bad counsel.
What?
Who give you bad advice. And the Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are your friends giving you ungodly counsel? Are your friends keeping you closer to the Lord or taking you further from the Lord? Are your friends causing you to walk in principles of the word or causing you to walk in principles of the flesh and principles of the world? So a faith friend brings you to Jesus rather than taking you further from Jesus. You know, one of the concerns that God originally had, and we were talking about this a couple weeks ago when we was talking about ethnicity and racism in church and all that kind of stuff, is that, you know, some people when they tried to use Christianity for racist purposes, tried to say that God had a problem with races intermingling. And that type of thing, and he wanted separation of the races, and they used the scripture where God told the children of Israel, don't you marry the Hittites and Canaanites and all that, but you got to keep on reading. Mm-hmm. He said, not because their nationality end with tights, or because they're Cushites, or because they were black people or people of color. He said, no. He said, my concern is that they will turn your hearts against me. And so God is concerned to make sure that we don't have friends who take us further from him rather than bring us closer to him. The Bible says that Solomon, and he initially did it because of trying to make alliances make alliances and allies with the nations for the purpose of Israel. But he started marrying a lot of what the Bible calls strange women. Mm-hmm. These were women from all the nations. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says as he got older, they turned his heart against God. And then the Bible says God got angry with Solomon because he allowed those women to turn his heart against God. Are your friends, including your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your boo, and your bae, turning you from God, taking you further from God, rather than bringing you closer to God? So a faith friend brings you closer to Jesus. Do your friends take you closer, or do they take you further from the Lord? Matthew 9 and verse 2. Okay. Matthew 9 and verse 2. This is the same scripture context from Matthew's gospel. And it says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be given thee. Well, I want to see, they brought to him a man who was sick. They brought the sick man to Jesus. Now, even a natural brother or sister may not be the best friend if they don't bring you to Jesus.
That's hard, because we love our family.
Yeah, we love our family. But I didn't reference the scripture. But Jesus said, you need to understand. He said, don't think that because you got in relation with me, it's going to bring peace in your families.
Right.
He said, but because when you really love me, he said, it's going to sometimes turn mother against daughter and son against father. He said, don't think because of me, things always going to get closer together in the natural. He said, but sometimes it's going to be a sword or a dividing line.
Right.
And some, you know, sometimes Christians aren't prepared for that. Because you would think all your family members are going to be happy that you got a relationship with the Lord, that you serve the Lord now. And that's not always the case.
Right.
So even a natural brother or sister may not be the best friend if they don't bring you to Jesus or encourage you to have a close relationship with the Lord. Okay? Just because you don't go to club with them. Every time I turn around, you at the church. You're watching that church on Zoom. You're watching that church on YouTube because maybe that's what you're doing right now. Okay? And so they're concerned. They're just concerned that you're not doing the same things with them that 1 Peter 4:4 says. They think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. And sometimes that's going to be the case.
What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends who bring you closer to Jesus or take you farther away? We all need faith friends who will walk with us through life, the good times and bad. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey take time to explain what faith friends look like and why we need them in our lives. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rdci.info. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.